And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. Dennis Dodd joins me today for a Doddcast edition of the show. We are going March Madness on college football. That's right, we are giving you a bracket preview, not of your bracket challenge, but instead our projected bracket for the college football playoff, which is really our way of checking in on some of the top teams in the country, what's going on in spring practice, and what are our expectations for the fall. A whole lot of fun building off of Dennis's projected 2018 college football playoff bracket. Make sure that you subscribe to the SEC on CBS podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher, and enjoy the Doddcast. Back here on the SEC on CBS podcast, hit and record this time. Chip Patterson here. Dennis Dodd joining me on this Wednesday morning. Dennis, happy March Madness.
It's fantastic, and I'm ready to go. I just wish we could have a 68-team football bracket. That'd be great.
A 68-team football bracket that would take probably 5 weeks to play through. And you know who would probably emerge as the champion? Alabama.
And you know what? How about that for student-athlete welfare? I don't want to even start that discussion.
What?
Playing 28 games.
Wasn't it Brian Freemo? Always figures out somehow that the regular season in itself, based on who beats who, can play out like a 128-team bracket into the center?
Yes, from Football Outsiders, yes.
Yes.
He is. I love Brian Freemo, yes.
Yes.
That's a great point.
All right, well, let's go straight to, speaking of brackets, and by the way, Dennis Dodd, follow him on Twitter at Dennis.CBS. He is also going to be a part of the college basketball coverage, helping out on-site, covering stuff. You wrote a Kansas preview, and you were there at the Big 12 tournament. You're going to be on the Jayhawks beat, and I think the Jayhawks are Final Four bound, so be sure that you follow him for all the latest on what is, without getting too deep into it, what is quite a controversial and tumultuous time all around the program, yes?
Yeah, it is. You know, all this stuff, and I call it stuff because it doesn't quite rise to the level of out-of-control program, but I called it death by a thousand fender benders. You know, Josh Jackson was suspended for the final Big 12 tournament game. He's had a couple of things. There have been other, you know, there's still five players who were witnesses to a rape of a 16-year-old. It's just a bunch of stuff. And Bill Self is getting a bit perturbed when asked about it. But the farther they go in the tournament, the more questions are going to be. And he's going to have to deal with it. The best way to deal with it right now is just play basketball and keep your nose clean. And that will happen Friday afternoon, Friday night. We shall see.
Right. And the fact that so many of these court dates are for a week after the national championship,
yeah,
was like, yeah, I mean, it might be that the legal process takes that long. The legal process does take time. But, man, the optics of that are sure look like they're just, hey, let's get this season done, and then we'll deal with all these things.
Yeah, all of this, the basketball and the off-court stuff, will all be done in 3 weeks. Josh Jackson, Frank Mason will be in the NBA. Other players will be graduated, go to Europe. So that much we know. Virtually all of it will be over in 3 weeks.
Right. But the bracket that you have predicted, as of we join the spring football side of things in college sports, you've got your way too early 2018 college football playoff bracket, which is your prediction of who will be making next year's playoff. You have Alabama in there, Ohio State, Florida State, not Clemson, and Oklahoma, no USC or Pac-12. So I want to take a quick minute bouncing around sort of your view of where these title contenders are right now, starting with, of course, number one, Alabama from the SEC. I don't disagree with your pick. But what I am fascinated to watch is how a quarterback competition that I thought wouldn't be here. You know, when the Heisman odds were released for next season, and we were putting them up on the site, we were providing some commentary. You know, I picked Jalen Hurts. I said, you think about how he was. You know, you even put this phrase in my head. He was the best runner in the SEC last year. You know, like, he was one of the most dynamic offensive threats in the country last year. If he gets a little bit sharper throwing the ball down the field, then that is a total offensive package that is going to be tough to rival. And you put him, surround him with all the rest of the five stars that Alabama's got at every position, and it's going to set him up to look well, look very strong. But then somebody from Alabama, a fan, by the way, this is not a sourced program, but this is a well-informed fan, pitched the question to me, what if Jalen Hurts gets beat for the starting job? And, of course, the big buzz name here is five-star quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who, Dennis, you wrote a story on him. You've got closer contacts than I, but my understanding is, you know, five-star kid, probably a better passer than Hurts at this point,
yes,
coming out of high school. Definitely, I mean, it's going to be very hard to be the same running threat that Hurts was, but if we get to a position where Nick Saban, we know he loves to play multiple quarterbacks for those first couple games, those non-conference games, you know, let him win it on the field. If this is another fall of Alabama allowing four or five guys to compete for snaps, you know, maybe Hurts' grip on that QB1 role isn't as strong as I thought.
You know, I think there is a lot of coaches that want to make create competition and unease at any position. You know, there's a similar situation at Texas where Shane Buechele and Sam Ellinger, I talked to Tom Herman about it. He said, absolutely, I was bringing him in, you know, basically recruiting over a starting quarterback to create competition. That's what's happened here. Before I answer the Alabama question, I have to say I was surprised at Tua Tagovailoa. Say it again, Chip, please.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. That's on me. Tagovailoa came at all, because you're talking about, yes, he wants to compete. He thinks he can win the job. But if he doesn't, the great possibility exists that he's a backup for 3 years, which I think will never happen because he'll transfer. But it just doesn't fit the culture of the five-star quarterback these days. You go where you think you can start from day one, where you can play for 3 years and leave. Now, obviously, we know that, you know, is not everybody, but that's their mentality. And he's going to the absolute number one team, most competitive program on earth. I give the kid a lot of credit. Now, to your question, I don't think it'll happen. I think there'll be competition created, but even if Lane was there, whoever was the offensive coordinator, there's going to be a natural progression. Jalen Hurts was going to get better in his second year as a quarterback, as a thrower, as a reader of defenses. And he did progress as the season went along. He had that great run, obviously, at the end of the championship game. He wasn't a great thrower, but he became a better thrower. I had somebody tell me during the season he was a one-read guy and then he'd take off. And they wanted to get him away from that because they wanted him to read progressions and look at the passing tree. And I think more of that will happen this year. But the point is made, if they put all their chips in the basket of a freshman who had trouble throwing, what about a true freshman who looks like he's a little bit more refined coming in his first year? And I think right now anybody would agree is a better thrower.
And adding another wrinkle to this is the fact that we've got a new offensive coordinator who is not involved in the recruiting process, Brian Daboll, who,
right,
you know, is going to, unless proven otherwise, you know, march to the beat of the company drum. And
yeah.
I've got no idea how that plays out, but it is a spring practice storyline around Alabama that I was not expecting to pay as much attention to. And now, listen, my antenna's up. I'm curious to see how this goes because, you know, you've got another quarterback competition at Auburn between Jarrett Stidham and Sean White. That's another one that I thought was just going to be Jarrett Stidham's to win. And
I did too, yeah.
Auburn people are saying, don't give up on Sean White here. So it's a fascinating time. Is there anything about Alabama outside of the quarterback position this spring that you're going to be particularly alert to? Because otherwise, for me, it seems like business as usual in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, they've got these quarterbacks. Either one of them have receivers to throw to. We know that they have, you know, returning guys. Now four tailbacks that look like they could start and lead in rushing for any team in the country, with the addition of Najee Harris, the maybe the number one player in the country recruiting wise. You know, we'll see how they slot him in with three guys already there. And on defense, this happened last year. There are guys we don't even know who their names are, who got a lot of snaps last year, who will be in the rotation or starting. So that's why they're number one and have a chance to go undefeated again. And by the way, an SEC that until further notice still looks down to me. I had a question yesterday on a radio hit, and somebody asked me, well, who's, you know, Alabama's top contender? And the fact that I had to pause and think about that tells you that, A, not that there isn't one, but, you know, there's not a clear one. I said Auburn just because now they look like they might be dangerous at quarterback. But I'm not ready to say LSU, and I'm certainly not ready to say anybody from the East because they haven't won it in 8 or 9 years.
Right. The only like competition in my eyes, if you were to look at, you know, power ranking the conference, would be the Auburn Tigers. I would not go with LSU. And whoa. I'm a little bit easy. I don't know why. For some reason, I'm jumping on the Georgia. And of course, the Georgia hype train is destined to crash, right? I mean, there's no way that
because it's the Georgia hype train.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's everything. Everything as I'm sitting here in mid March, looking at Georgia's roster and looking over the practice reports and going through the schedule and thinking to myself, man, you know what? This might be Georgia's year. You know, I really should be thinking about every other year that I've gone through this song and dance saying, man, this might be Georgia's year.
This, you know, I probably shouldn't say this. I'll probably get people mad at me, but there are two programs every year that are written way too much about. And it's not that they're not successful. It's just that they do the same thing every year, and that's Wisconsin and Georgia. You can pencil in Wisconsin for 9, 10. Last year they had 11 wins. Georgia won a national championship in 1980, and that's the standard. You know, that's the standard they look for to go after. Mark Richt won two SEC titles. They came within 5 seconds of winning a third. But it's almost like wake me when you actually do it with Georgia.
Yeah.
The triumvirate of Eason and the two tailbacks coming back looks good, but they need to have a little more going around them. And I don't care if Florida doesn't have a quarterback or if they do have a quarterback. They got to get past the cocktail party.
Mm. All right, so let's go. Alabama has a change in offensive coordinator, which is a storyline to watch. Ohio State, your pick to make the playoff again coming out of the Big Ten, has a new offensive coordinator. What do you think the expectation is for JT Barrett? Because in a 2017 college football season where mm-hmm. the stars really have yet to come into play, you know, we're not going into next season with a Deshaun Watson that everyone can say this is the biggest star in college football. Maybe it's Jalen Hurts, but we even just said we don't even know if Jalen Hurts has a hold on the starting job. Where does JT Barrett fall, and what are the expectations for him in his final year at Ohio State?
Yeah, great question. He's on his fourth offensive coordinator in his career, and that's Kevin Wilson, the head coach at Indiana, who was let go or left or however you want to put it. Great offensive mind. JT Barrett needs a tune-up.
Right.
He was the Big Ten quarterback of the year last year, but I think we all saw with our own eyes his limitations. You know, if not for – I don't want to say a fortunate spot because it was the right spot, but if not for a bang-bang spot in the Michigan game, they lose that. You know, his running, his threat as a runner decreased. He's a good runner, but not as good as he was. And I think we all saw exploited his inability to throw mid-range to down the field passes. I'm not talking about bombs. I'm talking about a long out. I'm talking about hitting the tight end over the middle 20 yards down the field. It just isn't there, and he's less than a 60% passer, and I think that's what has to improve, and I think that's what will improve under Kevin Wilson.
And Kevin Wilson, during his time at Oklahoma, was Oklahoma, right? Before Indiana? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He went from there.
Great offensive coordinator, put up big numbers. And today's bracket busting edition of the SEC on CBS podcast is, of course, brought to you by Blue Apron, where you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/SEC. That's right. You go to blueapron.com/SEC. Check out the upcoming meals, which include salmon piccata and orzo with broccoli. You've got pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple, all kinds of good stuff, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips if you're more of the veggie. And you can find that blueapron.com/SEC. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/SEC. Three meals free with free shipping. blueapron.com/SEC. At Florida State, no quarterback controversy at all. The controversy that Dennis has created with his fiery hot takes on CBS Sports is, how in the world would you, Dennis, how would you not pick Dabo after you saw Dabo beat Saban? Florida State coming out of the ACC. Before we talk about the Seminoles, the Clemson Tigers, the story is at the quarterback position, where Dabo Swinney has said that Kelly Bryant Jr. and the two-year backup to Deshaun Watson is the leader right now. Zarek Cooper's another name to watch there, but Hunter Johnson, five-star early enrollee, true freshman, is going to be an interesting prospect to watch. Right now, from everything I'm hearing, he's wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, and overwhelmed with the offense. So it's going to be a while before he puts it all together and is able to showcase that, you know, that number one pro-style rating out on the field. Right, what's the general Clemson offense expectation for you right now?
Not as good. You're not going to have, if you don't have a Deshaun Watson, you're not going to be as good. Deshaun Watson, who in the last 2 years in the playoff played basically a third of an extra season and threw for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns in the playoff games alone. Kelly, a lot of inexperience at quarterback. They got prospects, they got talent, but they're not there yet. No Wayne Gallman, no Mike Williams, no Jordan Leggett. That was a unique group, and Hunter Renfro is a great player, but Hunter Renfro, you know, is not going to lead that team. He's a great cog in it. They do have Deion Kane back, but it's just not going to be as good, not as explosive. I got feedback. Oh, the defense is going to carry him. Well, how did that work out against Pitt? How did that work out against Alabama? Frankly, they gave up 31 points. So it's going to be a down year, and that combined with the fact that FSU, in my opinion, is going to be a powerhouse. They're going to be top four. They are just going to copy and paste with running back. They lose Dalvin Cook, but they've got four guys there who, if they go by tailback by community, or they have one main guy, Jacques Patrick, who, by the way, is already in the top 10 list of single-game ACC rushers. He had 162 against Syracuse a couple of years ago. Cam Akers, who everybody expects great things from, the freshman. So they're going to be – and DeAndre Francois. Derwin James comes back in the secondary. They can find a replacement for DeMarcus Walker. They are going to be a powerhouse. So all this evaluation goes into the slippage by Clemson. But Florida State is going to be the overwhelming favorite in the ACC.
It feels for Clemson like 2014 when Cole Stout was the starting quarterback. Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson had a couple games. He lit up NC State. He lit up North Carolina. But he was bothered by a couple. There was like a knee, maybe one another thing. He was nicked up by injuries during his redshirt freshman year. And Cole Stout was the quarterback. And Clemson was pretty good. You know, they were solid, and I think that Clemson, based on that defense, which still has Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Austin Bryant, like, they have maybe the best defensive line in the country still, but I think that's only worth about 10 wins, and the most important of those wins, of course, being against Florida State. I'm like you. I give the Seminoles the edge here. Two players to watch. Tavarus McFadden. Was a great defensive back for them. He's out this spring, getting a shoulder thing cleaned up so that he can be 100% for the fall. Apparently played with it all season his sophomore year when he had 8 interceptions. And then at wide receiver, man, at the end of the year, Nyquan Murray started exploding, started getting really comfortable. And that's, I mean, that's one of those examples where you look at him, Dennis, and you're just like, well, that is speed, size, athleticism, and agility that can't be coached.
And he had a big game against Clemson because I was there. I remember that. That was kind of his coming out. So you're right.
So Florida State coming out of the ACC. Oklahoma out of the Big 12. Got Baker Mayfield back, but a lot of questions elsewhere. I was excited to think that maybe this is a Bill Snyder, K-State, Big 12 year. Maybe this is a Mike Gundy, Arkansas waterfall, Mason Rudolph, James Washington, Big 12 year, but you've got the status quo. What do you think is going to be the expectations of the Sooners?
Yeah, I was reminded and talked into really considering Oklahoma State because Mason Rudolph is going to be, I think, the number 3 leading returning career quarterback, career passing yards in the NCAA this year. They think they have the best set of returning receivers in the country. You mentioned James Washington. What you need in the Big 12 is an average defense. They can win 10 games. And I'm not proclaiming this to be a playoff team, but it's been now 6 years since Oklahoma State won the league. And the football in the state of Oklahoma is going to be very, very good this year. I'll say that.
Mm. What about the rest of the Big 12, though? Because the Big 12 in general, you know, we're looking, and this is what National Signing Day reminded me, is that, you know, the Big 12 in the recruiting rankings over the last 2 to 3 seasons has continued to trend down.
Absolutely. The first time Texas did not get a top 10 player in its own state, the worst, quote-unquote, recruiting class Texas has ever had, now it was 26th, and it was a transition year with Tom Herman. But that's true. But I think he's going to have them up and going in no time. I think the team to watch, I have a hard time picking Kansas State any lower than 3rd in that league because they've got pretty much all the pieces, too, in what that means with Bill Snyder's way of running things. They've got a quarterback in Jesse Ertz. They have running backs. The defense is going to be tough. And then Bill Snyder himself, the oldest coach in FBS coming off cancer, we'll find out more about him later this month when they start spring practice and he speaks publicly. But never dismiss a Bill Snyder coach team. And I think this is the year not to do that because they could sneak in there if everything breaks their way. I believe, God, I think this is right. I think they get Oklahoma at home, and I haven't looked, but it's something to consider.
What's the thought on the Pac-12 right now? And for Sam Darnold and USC and Clay Helton and sort of the return of Troy, what is the biggest obstacle towards being able to cash in on what was an incredible Rose Bowl and a strong finish to the 2016 season?
This sounds trite, but living up to the hype. We've been here before where everybody's bought into USC, and they will and should start in the top 5, considering – that they won the Rose Bowl for the first time in 8 years. They have Sam Darnold back, who will be a Heisman favorite, if not the Heisman favorite. They've won 9 in a row, the second longest winning streak in the country. So, and they've got again, like Alabama, talent you haven't heard of that will just slide in for Juju Smith-Schuster and a Dory Jackson back there. So, that being said, I would still I think USC will start in the top 5. I think Washington will probably be favored to win the league. Now that sounds like conflicting stories, but Washington is the team to beat, and they don't fall off that much. They still got Miles Gaskins. They still have Jake Browning. They lose Buda Baker and Sidney Jones, but they've got a guy who just ran in spring practice, a 4.38 back there. Woo! One of their backups is supposed to come in. Not a 4.22 like John Ross, but not a bad 4.38. So I my point is, under Chris Peterson, the Huskies aren't going away anytime soon, and I think that helps the whole league. So, and you add to the fact there's depth there with Mike Leach and Luke Falk coming back, Washington State, UCLA with Josh Rosen, and now a new coordinator in Jed Fish, who's highly recommended. So, you know, I think the Pac-12 is going to be a dogfight this year. But the hype train will have USC in the top five.
Stanford might be all right. Stanford might be good.
They always are. They won nine with a nothing team.
In a down year.
Yeah.
So silly. All right, so are we going to be able to start calling the New Year's Six race for the golden ticket the bubble? Are we going to have bubble teams?
Teams on the bubble. I like that. let's just start that right now.
So
we can do that.
South Florida is going to be the one that gets the most buzz. We've got Charlie Strong, the much embattled Charlie Strong, who only a few months ago, you know, less than a year ago when he takes the field in September, had his entire team showing up at the press conference. And one of the strangest, most unique experiences that I've seen in terms of the way a college coach's tenure has ended, particularly at a major level at a program like Texas. They've got Quentin Flowers back. They lose Marlon Mack, the shifty running back. But this is a Bulls team that had double-digit wins and could go in and win the American again. Who else? Maybe. What are your thoughts on the Bulls? I know you've gotten a chance to speak with Charlie Strong here in the offseason. Is this going to be more buzz, or do you think that they're going to be able to come out and back it up with something that'll generate some much-needed, probably positive vibes for Coach Strong?
I think they'll be able to back it up. He loves what they've got. They should be favored to win the American, and the American is the best group of five conference. Quentin Flowers is everything you just said as a runner and a thrower, and he's bought in. You know, they made sure they bonded, so they're on the same page there. I would say, you know, I would look at Louisiana Tech, San Diego State, which lost Donnell Pumphrey, but now is coming back looking at its third straight Mountain West title. Boise State, as long as Brett Rippon is there, they're going to have a chance. Temple, they're going to have a lot of people back, and they won the American last year under first and now with first-year coach Jeff Collins from the Florida defensive coordinator. And then Appalachian State, the old Sun Belt team, which doesn't get enough love. I don't know if they can get enough juice to get to the golden ticket, but they've Chip, amazing stat, have won 27 of the last 32 games and have a lot of guys coming back. Scott Satterfield is one of those guys who's going to have a Power 5 job pretty soon. He's done a great job there.
Does that go back to the middle of the season when they had the turnaround in like 2014 maybe or 2015?
It would have to. You're right.
They started 0-6 or something, and then just that's a fascinating story. If you want to meet in Boone this summer, we can go hiking and talk to Coach Scott Satterfield about that turnaround, because they are they're ready to explode, man. I mean, they won national championship after national championship. There's an expectation of success in Boone for at least conference championships at every level. I don't think that they've got their eyes set on the college football playoff, but if you saw the tenacity and the way they played Tennessee a year ago, they're not scared of anybody.
Should have absolutely beaten Tennessee. And, you know, I questioned why, you know, Appalachian State went up to FBS, because they're playing for championships in FCS. They're playing for, I guess, a lower level bowl game in FBS, but you know there's a branding of the university. You get some of that bowl revenue, I guess, from the Sun Belt. You get some of that NCAA tournament money in basketball, so it helps in enrollment. It helps the front porch, and look what they've done: 27 out of their last 32.
Hey, they hosted Miami. You know,
that's right.
They'll bring the spotlight. All right, cool. Well, Dennis, thank you so much. Enjoy this week. We will catch back up next week, and we'll see what happened in the March Madness, and check back in on spring practice. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at DennisDoddCBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson, and make sure that you subscribe to the SEC on CBS podcast, because subscribers get episodes first. For Dennis Dodd, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks, Dennis.
All right, thanks so much.